Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Thanking God for a new day. Thanking God for a new me. Thanking God for our awesome and mighty God that he is, and thanking him for his mighty and awesome son, my Savior. My Lord and Savior, hallelujah, Jesus Christ. Can y'all say amen this morning, giving God honor, glory, and praise? For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Hallelujah. And I just go on and say, as the psalmist says, whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. We don't fear because we walk in faith. We walk in the goodness of the Lord. We walk knowing who is our God. Hallelujah. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's our word this morning. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for this great word today. We will be coming out of Psalms, hallelujah, this morning. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 3 is our main verses. And, of course, Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 21 to 41. I'm just filled up this morning. You know, you guys, we have to get filled up to give out. And I just want to say thank you, Morning Glory Nation, for filling me up this morning, for giving me that little bit of something that I needed to move forward today. Thank you, Pastor Few, for the love song from Zephaniah chapter 3. Thank you, God, for your word, for just surrounding us with your love, serenading us with hope, giving us gladness and peace. Hallelujah. I thank God for peace today. You know, I was getting ready to go to work and found out I'm canceled today from work. But I want to still do a shout out this morning to my granddaughter, Caitlin. Today is her 15th birthday. I just still can't believe this little girl that, oh, my God, 10 years old today. So happy birthday to this wonderful little girl who I just love to pieces because she belongs to me and God gave her to me. So I am thankful. She will always be my baby girl, and I'm thankful to have her in my life. So thanking God for grandchildren and thanking God for a new day. And thanking God for all of you. So if you know my grandchild, please wish her a happy birthday on today. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this day that you have made. I ask you, Father God, help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, I lift up, giving you honor, glory, and hallelujah praise. For you are great and greatly to be praised, Father God. Lord God, thank you for giving us words. Thank you for pastors and preachers and teachers that are not afraid to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, not afraid to say, I love you, Jesus. That's my favorite love song more than anything. You are my God. You are my friend. You are a friend of God. We are your friends. You call us friends as you call David friends. Lord God, I ask your blessing on all those that are in need today. I ask you, Lord God, to heal our lands, oh God. I pray for the people of Ukraine today, Lord God, who do not want war, who do not want to walk back into what they had in the past, where so many people died because of men seeking more power. Father God, I pray for the people of Russia that they also, who do not want war, will not allow an authoritarian, evil dictator to want power and to try to take back what was lost. Father God, I ask you to please heal that land. Heal that land of strife. Heal that land of war. And, Lord, I ask you to show America what happens when nations divide, when people are divided on so many levels. Father God, we know your word that a house divided cannot stand. And, Lord God, we're asking you to heal this house we call America. We're asking you to heal families. We're asking you to need you, God. But we need more of you, Lord. We need more of you in our lives, more of you in our dreams, more of you in our hopes, more future. Lord God, we are praying for a renewal and a restoration. We're praying for revival. We're praying for that day of Pentecost where people will hear each other's words in their own tongue. We are praying, Lord God, for a renewal of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, let light shine, for you are our light and our salvation, Father God. We as men and women of God will not walk in fear, but we walk in faith. We will not be afraid because you are with us wherever we go. Lord God, I lift up our president, my president, President Biden, asking you, Lord God, to give him a discerning in his spirit to know what to do, how to do it, that things do not escalate into all-out world war, Lord God. For we know the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. We know the spirit of Antichrist is in the background, trying to create destruction, deceit, hatred, bigotry, and divisiveness. Lord God, we bind that spirit of Antichrist today in the name of Jesus, asking you, Lord God, to show your light on this world, to let those in this world see that there is power higher than high, that your power is higher than high. Lord God, you can stop everything, including an opportunity, the opportunist. Father God, I thank you for this day. And I'm going to rejoice in it. And I'm going to be glad in it. Because I know that my Father God is in charge. And that everything will work for the good of those that trust and believe in you. I trust you, Lord. But you are my light and salvation. And I will not walk in fear, but walk in faith, knowing that you, God, lead and guide me. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In the name of the matchless Savior, who gave his life for me, for us, for this wicked world, for our sins, he took us to the cross as the Lamb of God. In his name I pray, believing and trusting that he is and he will come again. In his name I pray, amen. Amen. In the name of Christ Jesus, we lift up this word today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We will not be offering sacrifices to demons. We will not be offering sacrifices to those that are choosing war. Those that are choosing death over life. I choose life today. I choose God today. I stand on his word today and always, for there is none like my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord knows what you need. The Lord knows the desires of your heart. The Lord knows what you think and how you feel. The Lord knows everything about you. Trust God today that he will help you get your life, get your act, get your house in order. Thanking God for all of you listening in this morning, those that listen live and those that listen later. I ask God to watch over you, to bless you, to guide you and to lead you, that all things will work for you because you trust in him. So let's get ready to get into our word this morning. And all I can say is it is a what great word. It is a great word. It is a great word today. We are coming out of the book of Leviticus, chapter 17 and chapter 18. We're coming out, as I spoke earlier, our psalm is chapter 27, verses 1 through 3, Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 9, and Mark will be finishing up today with Mark chapter 20, chapter 4. We'll be finishing Mark chapter 4 today. So Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 41. So wonderful word. Let's get into it. If there is anyone that is a King James person and want to share King James this morning, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open to read King James. And let's get started. And please share this number with family and friends so we can get to more people listening in to Bible study. We are here every day from Sunday to Friday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, God willing. Every time we are here. So if there's somebody that you know that would like to hear a word from God, who wants to hear the Bible, who wants to even read the Bible with us, tell them to call 213-943-3597. Let's get our numbers up. Let's get people engaged in Bible study. It is so important. Our goal, the goal of this blog, is to read the Word of God in 1 year, from Genesis to Revelation, 1 year. This year, again, we are in the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. When we go through life lessons, life questions, those are from Dr. Stanley. I do also use Dr. Tony Evans's Christian Standard Bible with his commentary, and that is the Tony Evans Study Bible. I also use it, and then I have just regular King James and other Bibles that I use. So we do have a reader this morning, Evangelist Teresa, your line is open. And if you wouldn't mind reading Leviticus chapter 17 through chapter 18, verse 30. And the line is yours, and I will be listening in and taking notes. So thank you. And I'll be back with some life lessons after our sister in Christ gives us this word from King James. Hallelujah. Thank you,
yes. All right, let me get to it right quick.
Leviticus chapter 17.
Yeah, I know. I got that, yeah. Oh, geez. One day I'm going to give me a new Bible. Oh, thanks, Jesus. God, you're worthy. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord. Come on, Leviticus, jump out of me. There we go. Hallelujah. God, your word, yes, you are, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, Father, thank you, Lord. Be my eyes. And to them, the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, what man never are to be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, for that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth not unto the Lord of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be poured into the man to have, oh, Lord, thank you. Excuse me, please, Lord, be my eyes. And to the Lord before it. Oh, God. And to the Lord before the table, tabernacle of the Lord. God, I need you. Blood shall be imputed unto that man hath shed blood, and that man shall be, and he hath shed blood, and unto the man it shall be all, and it shall be cut off. Jesus, Lord, in among his people, cut out. Oh, Father God, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, your blood and shall be cut off among his people to the end of the children of Israel may bring their sacrifice, which they offer in the open field, even they, oh God, thank you. Oh God, that may bring unto the Lord and to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to the priest and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they gave me a, oh God, help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And they shall no more offer their sacrifice unto devils, after whom they have gone, Jesus, a horn. This shall be a statue forever. He means forever. Hallelujah. Yeah, God, thank you. Unto them oh God, I need you, Lord. Thank you, God, thank you. And thou shalt say unto him, them whatsoever a man, oh God, thank you.
Yes, it's over.
And thou shalt say unto them, whosoever man there be in the house of Israel of the of the strangers which, oh God, thank you, which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering of sacrifice, and bring it unto, oh God, I need, oh fatherhood and bring it not into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even my face against the soul that eateth blood. Oh God, thank you. And all people, and him, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh and the blood, and I have given it unto you, unto up upon the altar, to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth unto catch if my beast or fowl, that they may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all the flesh, the blood of it for the life thereof. I say unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of the manner of the flesh for the life of all flesh, the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which died of itself, or which was torn with beast, neither whether the Father, he be of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the eve, even shall be clean. But he, Father, I thank you, Lord, so hard to say. But, oh, Lord. But, oh, God, thank you. And if he wash then oh God, maybe Lord help me, Holy Ghost, help me. Oh son on the hill, look at the sea. Yeah, God. There. Thank you. But if he wash them not, or bathe his flesh, he shall bear his iniquity. Chapter
Hallelujah.
18.
We're going to put a pin right there and go into some life lessons. Hold on just a moment. Thank you so much, Evangelist, for reading chapter 17 for us this morning. Hallelujah. You know that the enemy thinks he's so slick, but you know what? God is in charge, and we know this. Hallelujah. And as we go back into some life lessons from Leviticus chapter 17, you know, I'm going to come out of the New King James with the life lesson, but I will go back in and look at King James as well. And it says, they shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons. And then when we go over to King James, it says, they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils. Come on now, after whom they have gone a whoring. You know, come on, we got to look at this word and see it for what it is. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. And he says, to serve and worship other gods is described as sex, as spiritual adultery. Did you catch that? When you go out there and you talking all this stuff, going after other gods, it is spiritual adultery. I had never heard that term, but that is exactly what it is. You are cheating on God. When you go after other things other than God, you cheating on God. Just as you say, going a horn. That's not my word, but that's the word in the word, that you're going a horn. Mm-hmm. And it goes on to say this, and it says, a detestable unfaithfulness both then and now, as adultery rouses an offended spouse's wrath, so idolatry rouses the anger of God, because his word tells us in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt have no other God before me. That's God's word, not ours, but God's. So we, and he has told us in Leviticus that we should not what? Sacrifice unto devils.
Amen.
If you want to go New King James. Bottom line, same thing. Sacrifice it unto those that are not of God. Giving your all to everything but God. Come on now. Oh, I'm sorry. Evangelist, I can't go to church today because the game is on. You know, hey, the Super Bowl. You know, hey, I know, what do you say, the Rams was playing and the Rams won. But, you know, but you was in church, wasn't you? Come on now. You was in church.
Amen.
You didn't let the game stop you from being in the house of God. You
Amen.
Was there. I know because I saw you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I believe
yes.
we rode together. But the bottom line
yes.
is we cannot give other things over before we give God what's due God.
Amen.
And as we go back into the word again, in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, and in King James it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. But it is the blood that making that atonement for the soul. And Dr. Stanley tells us this. Blood was sacred since it stood for the life of human beings made in God's image. So Christ's blood had to be shed for the salvation of the world. And we're going to go over real quick to Romans chapter 3. And Evangelist, if you would go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it would be appreciated.
1 second, I'm getting
I am going, so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7.
Okay.
As I said, this is Bible study. I am going to Romans chapter 3, verse 25.
Oh, God, I can
see. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, and I will be coming out of King James for this.
Yes,
hopefully
God.
I'll have it in just a moment.
Yes, God, thank you. You said Ephesians chapter 7?
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
Ephesians chapter 1, excuse me, verse 7.
Oh, okay, because I was like, wait a minute, there ain't no chapter 7. We're only human. Thank you, God, for helping us. Hey, he's worthy of all the glory, all the
all
honor,
the time.
All the praise.
Hallelujah.
Yes, in whom we have Jesus, in whom we have redeemed through the blood, his blood, for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. What a word. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And when we go over to Romans, let me get my Romans up again. Came out of King James and went into something else. So give me just a moment, y'all, because we want to get as much word in as we can to show the importance of what God is saying to us. And when
Amen.
We go to Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. And then I'm going to go down even to verse 26. It says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And when we go up to verse 24, actually we're going to go up to verse 23, and it says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all know Romans 3 and 23. That's one of them words. I had to go back up and get that in there. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then when we go to verse 25, to put it all in context, it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, which was Jesus Christ, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We are the children of God. And God has given us everything we need, that we don't have to go out sacrificing anything. But the Lord has told us in his word, don't, like blood is important to God. And we have to be careful that we are not out there, you know, thinking we can just do anything. That's not what God has said. And when we go into Romans chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse number 8, it says, but God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a highlightable, y'all.
Yes,
and
it is.
It's much more than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. We are saved from wrath through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it says, for if when we were reconciled by God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And we all have read atonement comes from blood, right? So we are,
yes.
Jesus' blood was the atonement for our sins. We are,
yes,
blessed by God. He has given us an offering, a sin offering, which was the Lamb of God, who was our,
yes,
Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when we go to verse chapter 18 of Leviticus, we're going to go to 18, and I'm going to come out of King James again. For my King James readers this morning,
yes,
just having some issues with my computer today. But I just wanted to bring this word because it's just so important. You know, the enemy don't like the word of God going forth. He hates it, and we're going to keep it going because we are children of God, and you can't stop what God has put in place. Hallelujah. So we just tell all them devils, take your little selves right on back to the pit of hell from which you came, because you are not in control of this word today. Hallelujah. The Lord God is in control of everything. And God's word is speaking to us this morning. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. You know, all we can say is thank you, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it says in the word of God, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Come on now. After the doings, yes, of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinance. In other words, don't try to be like everybody else. You've got to be,
amen,
like I am. You are a distinct people. You are a holy nation. You are mine, and I will not allow you to walk in the pits of hell. Because they worship,
amen,
the devils don't mean you worship devils. Come on now.
Amen.
God is speaking this morning. And then he goes on to say, ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinance to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes, my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. In other words, we ain't playing that other stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The nakedness of my father or the nakedness of thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife, thou shalt not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. Come on now. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. In other words, don't be messing around with your sister on your father's side or your brother on your mother's side. You better get it right. Incest is against God, and he's speaking it right now. And it goes on to tell you, come on, the nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter. Other words, don't be messing with your stepsister. The daughter of thy father, that's your stepsister. She is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father. Sister, she is our near kinsman, your auntie. Don't be messing around with the auntie or your uncle. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Now shalt thou approach to his wife. She is thy aunt. You know, come on now. God is telling us everything. It's all in the book. Come on. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Ooh. Hitting home some places, I think. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shall not take her son's daughter, or her son's daughter's daughter, to uncover her nakedness. But they are her near kinsmen, and it is wickedness. Neither shall thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. In other words, you got those folks out there that are married, every sister in the house. You know, married the sister, married her sister's sister on the daddy's side. Come on now. And the word of God is saying, that ain't right. And you wonder why your ex-wife hates your guts, because you're married to her sister. Come on. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put up for her uncleanliness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Ooh. Can the Lord say, I'm talking to y'all. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And I know that there are a lot of churches that like to use that. Let's go back up and read a little bit further back up to verse 21. And it tells you, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Don't be sacrificing to demons. Come on now, folks are doing stuff, wondering why people's lives are changing. What's going on in word? Come on now. Satanic worship is out there. It is in industry. It is all over. Watched it myself. Saw it at the Super Bowl. Look at the end of the performance and look at the sign put up. And go to the look it up. Look up that sign and you'll find out. It is not what you think. It is not of God. Come on now. We understand there's stuff going on in the world, and we got to pay attention as men and women of God. But I understand this is a word that many like to pull out to talk about homosexuality. And I'm just going to call it like it is. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. That is the word of God. Not my word, but God's word. There's a lot of word in here. There's a whole lot in here. But we also understand there's even more word in the New Testament. And, you know, we're not talking Old Testament. That's an Old Testament thing. No, it's a word thing. And we got to understand God put this stuff in place for a purpose and a reason. And we know at this time in life they was procreating. Two men can't procreate. Two women can't procreate. They was trying to make babies. They was trying to keep the world going. And understand if everybody was going with the same sex, you're not going to have children. There's not going to be any babies in the world. You know, and we will die. Why is it an abomination to God? Neither shall thou lie with any beast. to defile thyself therein. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down. Therefore, it is confusion. And let's call it, we're talking bestiality. How many times have you looked in the paper in certain places in this country and found that somebody got arrested because they was doing some things with some animals? Come on, call it like it is. It's nasty. And it's in the Word of God. God put everything you can imagine. It's in the Word. All you got to do is read it. And you say, well, you know, you have folks that don't want their kids to read this and that because it's got that. Then you don't want your children reading the Bible. Because everything that you think that's out there carnally that's in these novels and books in the library is more of it in the Word. So you telling your children they can't read the Bible because God's Word is true. And there's some stuff in it that would be like, oh, my. Get your ears unsensitive because you need to know the Word of God. Defile not yourself in any of these things. For in all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit iniquity thereof far. It and the land itself vomited out her inhabitants. God will destroy a place. Keep acting up. Keep thinking you can do whatever you want to do and that God is not going to come back and kick your behind. Because God don't play. And it says, and the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity there upon it. And the land itself vomited out her inhabitants. God's land will kick you out. Don't play with this planet. This planet has gotten rid of dinosaurs, so why do you think it won't get rid of you? And it says, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spurred not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spurred out the nations that were before you. Spewed it out, threw it up. For whoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, ye shall keep mine ordinances. God is speaking. And this is not Moses' word. This is God speaking. Therefore, ye shall keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Hey. It didn't say I am Moses. It didn't say, I am Aaron. It says, I am the Lord your God. And I love what Dr. Stanley says. We are to be a distinct people who follow the ways of God rather than the ways of the ungodly. When we allow Jesus to live his life through us, we live in the holy way God requires. God is not playing. And we got to stop playing with God. God sees everything, and you better know it. Ooh, hallelujah. Speak to us, Lord. And Psalms 27, which is the word for today. The Lord is my light and my salvation, sister. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. David didn't play. He was going through some stuff. You think about it. Somebody that you look up to, somebody you used to go and comfort when they was having trouble, you would play your instrument to calm their soul, and instead they're going to try to kill you. Why? Because they did something wrong. But instead of admitting their mistakes and their faults, they going to hate you because God blessed you and didn't bless them because they did something wrong. What did the Lord say in the Word? What did Samuel say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Come on now. And as we continue, it says this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And sister, could you go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, and be ready to read that in just a moment. And it says this, we don't need to be afraid of the dark when the Lord gives us his light. Can y'all shout with me? Hallelujah. I say it again, Dr. Stanley, he just breaks it down for us. We don't need to be afraid of the dark when the Lord gives us his light. We don't
Amen.
Need to fear the power of enemies when we walk in the power of God's spirit. Perfect love casts out fear. And that First John 4:18. Do you have that up?
I'm getting it right now, dear. First John.
Okay, that means 4:18.
4:18, okay.
And I need, yeah, but read verse 17 and verse 19 with that.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, Father God, help. Here we go. No. Oh, boy, Lord, thank you. Oh, glory. Come on now. Okay. First John chapter 1, verse 17, you said?
Yes, First John chapter 4, verse 17, 18, and 19.
Oh, First John, okay, 4. Because I was like, hold on, thank you, Jesus. Verse 17 says, herein, hold on, thank you, Lord. Wherein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is. So we are of this world. See, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Thank you, Lord.
Go back up to verse 18.
Oh, okay. Yes, ma'am. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out the fear. Oh, God.
And it just tells us, I love this word. Yeah,
perfect
love casts out fear.
Because fear has torment.
Come on. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Come on.
He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Thank you, Lord.
All right. And then go to verse 19 one more time. We love him because
love
he first
because he
loved
first
us.
Loved us. Hey,
hallelujah.
Can
you, it makes me want to shout. And I love this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. He says, that means we are secure because we know God's perfect love protects us no matter what our circumstances may be. Hallelujah. God's perfect love. And when we go down to even to verse 20, it says, if a man says, I love God, come on now, this is that word, I use this all the time, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. But he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can't say, I love God, but I can't say it, my sister. Can't do it. I love God, but I can't stand my brother. Then you don't love God, because you can't say I love God and hate your brother. You can't say I love God and hate your sister. You can't say I love God and can't stand your mother or your father. You can't do it, because then you're a liar. Come on now. No, not my word, but God's word. And as we go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, it says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will become known. You better understand, folks think they get away with stuff. God will show up and show out every time and show you for the liar and the cheat that you are. God shows out. And as we go to our another word this morning, as we finish out Mark chapter 4, verse 21. And it says this, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? What's our word? The Lord is my light and my salvation. And it says, is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear with the same measure you use it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed. Y'all know a mustard seed is teeny tiny, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Hallelujah. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? When he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. Hallelujah. Did the light shine still? Did the light shine? And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Hallelujah. The word of God tells us, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We don't need to be afraid of the wind or the waves or the snow or the storm. Hallelujah. And it says this in Mark chapter 4, verse 38. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How often do we say things like this to our Lord? When we get into some trouble, we question his love, not his ability. And yet, despite our lack of faith, he reaches out his hand and saves us. Praise the Lord. God reaches out his hand and saves us. And I can speak. I'm grateful to be alive today because God reached out his hand and saved me. Hallelujah. And a nice example before we get out of here this morning, this is this. How adversity reveals our level of faith. When hardships come our way, do we respond, God, I trust you this? Or do we tend to say, I'm doomed and there is nothing anybody can do? God once sent a storm on the Sea of Galilee to teach Jesus' disciples a lesson on faith. Jesus had said to his men, let us cross over to the other side, Mark 4:35, and they should have taken his statement as a sure sign that he expected a safe trip. But when a terrible windstorm threatened the boat, they panicked. The terrified disciples asked Jesus, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How many times have we said the same thing? Don't you care, Lord, that this is happening to me? Don't you love me enough? Lord, do something about this hardship. We all been there. We all done that. And we all have to repent and say, forgive us, Lord, for our unfaithfulness, for being afraid, for allowing the enemy to come in and put fear in our spirit instead of faith in our heart. Jesus rebuked the wind, and immediately a great calm settled on the lake. Then he turned to his disciples and said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. And he expects us to use it to overcome our fear. Fear always accompanies adversity. In fact, a degree of fear is what makes something an adversary, adversity, instead of just another experience. Fear causes us to project the very worst that can happen, that we will never recover, that all hope is lost, that we will never again enjoy some treasured thing. Faith tells the opposite story. Faith says that God is in control and that all things work together for our good. Romans 8:28. Y'all know that's one of my highlightables. Faith says that we will recover and that our final state will be better than anything we have experienced thus far. Allow adversity to call our faith to action rather than in faith. Adversity reveals areas in which you need to act in faith and not fear. When hard times come, say to yourself, now is the time to use my faith in a new way. The more you use your faith, the greater it grows. And can we all say together, thank you, God. We will allow our light to shine today. Let your light shine, because the Lord is your light. The Lord is your salvation. Whom shall you fear? Nobody. Because the Lord is the strength of your life. He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall we? We're going to make it all together. Whom shall we be afraid? Nobody. Why? Because we are God's children, and he loves us like that. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I just have to go. I get scriptures every morning. And my scripture for today, I just want to share with you, and it is from Bible Gateway. If you don't have this Bible app, I would suggest to everybody, get the Bible Gateway Bible app. It is phenomenal. And they send a verse a day. And the verse today just happens to be the verse from my church for this year. Our theme for this year is stepping up and stepping out. And it's coming out of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 13. And I'm just going to read it to you. And I'm coming out of King James. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. So I say this morning, as we get ready to wrap it up, seek God today. Let his light shine in you. For the Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall we fear? We are not going to fear anything or anybody. For the Lord is the strength of our life. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning. And as we get ready to wrap up again, Sister Carolyn sends this word today. Good morning. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Have a thankful Thursday, family. Stay safe and know that you don't have to walk in fear, because we are not perishing. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Jesus is with us. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you, Evangelist, for reading this morning. Thank you for sharing. Hallelujah. We thank God for his word, and I thank God for each and every one of you. And we say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And if you know my grandchild, tell her happy birthday. So happy birthday, Caitlin. Love you much. Your family is speaking. Have a blessed day, family. Enjoy your day. Keep God first and let his light shine in you and through you. Be blessed. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, Evangelist, it's a wrap. Why? Because we're always willing, ready, available, and presently praying for each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Love you, Evangelist. Love you, family. It's a wrap.
Love you, too. Yeah, go.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.